It's only a kick. A jump. A block. It's only a serve. It's only a tackle. A run. It's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
Welcome to Space Floor NBA Podcast. My name is Connor Gielen.
And I'm Connor Flannery.
And this is our 104th official episode. Today, we're here with two guests, two new members of the Space of Lord team. I guess we're their teammates now. C-Flan, why don't you give them a little bit of an introduction?
Yeah, so on our revival, the 104th official episode, Connor and I are excited to announce that we're joining up with the 94 Feet Hoops team as a part of their sort of new media brand and company that they're starting. And we're going to be sort of the NBA representatives, correspondents, talking hoops as we usually do, but hopefully moving forward with some more guests and some more kind of exciting action. So it won't be just me and Connor quite as often, but we'll hopefully have actually more exciting stuff to talk about. But so I'd like to introduce the two guys who are making that happen. First of all, the founder of 94 Feet Hoops, Blake Buchanan.
Hey guys, I'm really excited to be joining with y'all. I'm Blake. I grew up in Durham. Hoops like was always around basketball. Ended up coming to play 3 years at Wake Forest. Did my graduate year at George Mason. Just completed that. And I'm back down in the North Carolina area. I'm working for the Greensboro Swarm now, more on the business side. But just started 94 Feet Hoops Up as a passion project, really. I mean, we'll get more into it, but I think it's a really cool concept because we don't necessarily specialize in one thing. We're trying to bring training, film breakdowns, a podcast to our audience. And we're really excited to continue getting things started and building it up even more.
Awesome, man. And just to bring it over to the other guy, the title to be determined, number two, Miles Lester.
Yeah, appreciate you guys joining in. Yeah, my name is Miles. I grew up in Wichita, Kansas, so pretty far away from North Carolina. Basketball's kind of taken me all over the world. Went to prep school out in Western Massachusetts. Spent 1 year at Rice in Texas, and then the last 4 years at Wake Forest. So I was, you know, teammates with Blake for a couple of years, and then it was last year we had a really good season. Got to be a part of that. Had, you know, two NBA guys, one first rounder. You know, one was ACC Player of the Year. So like Blake, you know, basketball has been a part of my life, you know, since I was a little kid, and, you know, just love watching it, love breaking it down. You know, everything there is with basketball, just enjoy doing that. So this is kind of, you know, Blake and I have been talking about doing this passion project for a while, and we've just, you know, with basketball and school, we've never had the time. So we're excited to get it started.
Yeah. Thank you guys. And I mentioned quickly, like it's sort of a media company, at least it is on our end. You know, we're representing sort of like keeping pumping out episodes. We're doing the media kind of side, but what's the vision for you guys for 94 Feet Hoops as it sort of comes together? Like, what are the roles that you guys are going to be doing, and where do you envision this going long-term?
Yeah. I mean, for me, it's like you talk about the media part. I just see this as a basketball content company. Mm-hmm. I'm really focused more on training, doing clinics and individual training, because that's kind of where my passion's at, not only for the teaching the basketball, but for the mentorship aspect. I think relationships are one of the biggest things I got out of basketball, so I want to try to give back and help build those between other people. But we're bringing training. I'll let Miles go into the film section more. And we thought it would be really great to bring a podcast type commentary into play as well. And my brother actually knows C-Flan and referred us to his podcast. And Miles and I were like, hey, let's find someone who can teach us how to do the podcast ourselves. And I listened to a couple of the episodes and I texted Miles. I was like, dude, these guys are way better than anything we could do. So I was like, let's just bring them on and have them run it. And that you guys are more the media side. And basically, if there's any type of interest you have in basketball, whether it's more active, whether it's more content commentary based, we want to be able to deliver that and high quality, interesting content.
Well, we really appreciate the flattery there, but we totally agree. I think it's going to be really cool to have you guys on. Obviously, you guys are going to help us out. Honestly, this is like a really exciting thing for anyone listening. Like, we're probably going to have the Cflynn and I and you guys as well. We're going to have the chance to interview guys who won national championships in college, who played in the NBA on NBA rosters like last year, like this past season. It's really going to open up a lot of doors. And I think that's why just try to bear with us as we get into the revival stages of this. Miles, can you talk a little bit more about the film aspect?
Yeah, so that was something that I've always enjoyed, like, scouting. I mean, I was a scout team guy the past, you know, 4 years, I guess, of my life. And, like, I always would get really into sort of what the other team's doing, like, try and learn all their plays. You know, I'd be calling – Blake knows. I'd call out the plays literally all game long. Just, like, I'd memorize every team's playbook, essentially. And so, you know, I never had, like, access to actually watching the videos or stuff like that, you know, because as a player, you're just learning to scout in terms of, like, film breakdown by the coaches. So this summer, like, I really got into, you know, actually watching film on my own. I finally got access to a platform that allowed me to do that. So that's something, you know, I've been kind of doing more this summer. I've been, you know, throwing some stuff up on Twitter. Like, yesterday was Jake Stevens, who played at VMI last year and, you know, killed us at Wake. We almost lost to him, but it was like 2.5 minutes of him literally just throwing backdoor passes, which was pretty cool to me because, like, he's 7 foot, he's just diamond, guys. So that's something as far as just, like, looking at what teams do, looking at, you know, undervalued guys in the NBA side. So one guy that I've been working on is, like, Julian Swarther at Gonzaga. You know, I think he's going to have a really good year in the analytics, like him a lot. It's, like, breaking down his film, seeing what he does good. So that's sort of what I'm interested in as far as the film stuff, just teams, players, whatever I can do to, you know, continue learning the game and post it on Twitter as someone who, you know, has been around an ACC program for 4 years and been playing basketball their whole lives. And it's, you know, seen scouting and seen what some of the best coaches in the country are doing in terms of on the court stuff.
That's awesome. Man. I know Cflynn has like crazy access with the Duke video room as well.
I was going to say, yeah, like having spent some time with the Duke team and with the director of scouting analytics, I can say Miles is definitely a great Twitter follow and one of the smartest guys out there to just be giving away the things he's seeing for free. So definitely check him out. And we're lucky to have access to him as a podcast. And just going back to what Blake said, like 94 Feet Hoops being a kind of a passion project that the two of you guys as friends from school started reminds me a lot of the Space the Floor kind of mission. So that was just sort of something we've been doing for the last, I guess, four and change years now, that as just crazy. Me and Connor. So I think we're thrilled to be teaming up with the two of you guys as friends who kind of had this passion project for basketball. And I think we're lucky as guys who never played basketball past high school now to be teamed up with guys who have the college experience and have an eye for higher level basketball, both in the training and film room. So really excited to be teaming up with 94 Feet Hoops.
For real. I also like the, specifically like the D1 kind of vibe. Like that's, I feel like people don't understand how, like, you know, there was a discussion last year where people were saying, yeah, March Madness is great, but it's not as entertaining as the NBA because the average college hoops player is so much less skilled than the average NBA player. And I'm like, okay, like, sure. Like, people don't understand just how talented the average hoops guy who's getting no run for a D1 team is so much better than like your average, you know, pretty good high school player, right? Just like the guy who is just out of the NBA, just fell out of the NBA can go to a pro-am and drop 70. I'm pretty sure Malachi Flynn did that this summer, right? If you want to talk about, I don't know, any of that, it's okay to say like, hey, I'm good at basketball, because of course you guys both are, especially not being like, you know, 7 footers, to kind of just, I feel like people don't understand the dedication it takes to get to that level, even if you're only going to be averaging, you know, a low amount of points per game for a D1 franchise.
Yeah, that's an interesting point. I mean, you would see that a lot. Like, I mean, I'm 5'11", not that athletic. 6 foot. I'll give myself 6 foot, right around there. But like, guys, people would always be like, wait, you're on the basketball team? And like, we would go, I mean, we'd go play at the rec sometimes and like just cook everyone that we would play against. And it's like, people don't understand, you know, even being one of the worst players on like an ACC team, you're still like such a higher level, better than majority of people in the country. I mean, we both played at like mid-majors too for a year. So even like the difference between being able to play at a mid-major and, you know, being able to play at a school like Wake, like there's just a huge difference in terms of levels from low major, mid-major, high major. Then obviously a difference kind of goes up when you're going from high major to NBA guys. Like you said, you know, there's a lot of NBA guys that could kill a lot of the top tier college guys, yet they're not making it in the league, because at the NBA level, it's a lot about fit. It's a lot about, you know, handling yourself the right way off the court. Because, you know, the NBA teams, they have one or two guys that are kind of their bucket getters and their go-to guys. Like, no matter what they do, they will have a spot on the roster. But outside of that, like, you got to find your niche on what you provide value to a team, and you got to not mess up off the court. So there's definitely, you know, it's tough because, like, people just see you and they're like, oh, that person's probably not that good at basketball. Like, oh, like some people, it's like, oh, their parents paid for them to get on the team. It's like anyone that's either a walk-on or like plays at a low major is like better than 99% of the population at basketball, and like a lot better.
I'd say it's also super transformative in terms of your knowledge of the game. Like, I think back to high school and what I know now, the way I watch the game now is completely different. Like, I think the average basketball fan will watch a game and their eyes are on the ball, and we're like looking for who does the defense tag with, like who's gonna make a backdoor cut, who's gonna make a gut cut. Like, we're looking at the game a completely different way, and I think that just keeps going up and up the higher level you get. I would also say, I mean, you mentioned like people, that there's a stark difference between the NBA and a college player, and I kind of view it as a reference point type thing. Like, yeah, a billionaire is really rich. A guy with $100 million is pretty rich too, even though he's not as rich as the billionaire. Like, there is a big difference, but it doesn't mean there's not a load of talent there. And like, not just the talent with your basketball skills physically, but from a knowledge standpoint, it's really night and day once you get to the college level.
Yeah, absolutely. And honestly, we definitely don't get it on that level. I played like, you know, varsity in high school, but nothing past that. And C-Flan, I know you played JV with us, and then you kind of just became like a space floor NBA head. But now working with in the video room, you'll just be texting me and just talking about like Iverson cuts and like elevator screens. I'm like, bro, you are not talking about any of that in sophomore year of high school, junior year of high school.
No,
which is funny.
It's true. No, I mean, spending you know, just 1 year so far, like kind of around a D1 program, like I get what you guys are talking about, that there's a different level of watching the game when you're surrounded by some of the best coaches in the country. And so both of you guys having spent, I don't know, 4, maybe 5 years. I don't know if Blake, like your fifth year was, if George was your fifth year, your fourth year.
I did 4, Miles did 5.
Yeah. Okay. So either way, 4 or 5 years of watching basketball that way will take you places, you know? So we're lucky, like I said before, to be joined by people who watch the game the way you guys do. Cause that's something that like we're working on ourselves, but I think one of our strengths as Space the Floor is just like, we really like watching basketball, and we'll watch a lot of it, and we'll sit down and talk about it, and we'll dedicate our time to it. But I think the more that we can learn, the more we can be around people who understand the game a step, like, you know, 1, 2, 3 steps high, at like higher level than we do. Like there's a lot that we can learn, and a lot of ways that our episodes can improve by being surrounded by that. So excited for what's to come.
Yeah. I do want to give you a shout out, man. Like the first episode I listened to, you're talking about like a breakdown of Tyrese Haliburton versus De'Aaron Fox. And it was like way beyond my scope of knowledge. So that was pretty incredible. I think just your passion for the game and being around it, absorbing all that information does help you grow as a player. You're like, so like you're forced to be around it all the time in a good way. Like you choose that lifestyle, but if your true passion is to learn that much, like, you can find all the information you need, as you guys have exhibited with your podcast as well.
Yeah, I mean, I follow a lot of like NBA Twitter people too, and like, I doubt they've ever played past college or something like that. Like, they bring a lot of stuff to the table. Like, I have no idea about basketball, like, not as far as X and O's, but just the way they think about, you know, positions. Like, NBA University is one that comes to mind. Like, they have, and then B-ball index, like, they have all these position breakdowns, like, you know, helper and stuff like that, as far as defense, like point of attack. And so I think, you know, you don't have to, a lot of people are like, oh, you had to play the game to be a good coach or to be able to analyze the game. Like, I don't think that's true at all. I mean, playing the game has just helped us, you know, spend 4 years past the high school level, 5 years past the high school level, like being able to be around it all the time and understand it. Like, you can watch the game, you know, take courses, be on Twitter. I think Twitter is a very helpful resource. I'm on it all the time, but you don't have to have played the game past that point to, you know, be a good coach or be able to analyze basketball. And you don't have to understand, hey, this is the exact play they're running, to like be able to talk about basketball. Like, you can watch a game and understand what's going on without, you know, knowing a huge complex portion of the game and still be able to provide nuanced takes and enjoyable insight. And so I don't think there's like a, hey, this guy played for 4 years and, you know, knows the game more than this guy. So I don't know. I think that's like something I see on Twitter, is like, a lot of times former players don't like to listen to like people that never played. And I think they provide a lot of insight. And, you know, I've learned a ton from people that probably didn't play past the high school level, just being on Twitter, especially in terms of like the NBA game and the type of playing style there.
Yeah, like, respectfully to NBA players, some of them have like terrible takes about basketball. Not with respect to X's and O's, but with respect to certain players. Like, I remember like Melo and Lou Williams and Vince Carter were like gonna be in the All-Star game if it was just the player vote, like 2 years ago or something. Like, that's obviously emotion, but even like some of their like rankings or something, like I was like, that is not what I would do for that question.
Yeah, because I mean, you're looking at a guy and you're like, oh, he's you know, he's giving me buckets every once in a while, but then you look and he's like, oh, he's really shooting, you know, 0.7 points per possession from the shots. So like, yeah, he's giving me buckets on some tough moves, but it's actually a really inefficient shot. So like, anyone that actually looks at the analytics part of it is like, oh, this guy's not that good, which is, you know, what a lot of people on like NBA Twitter are doing that understand the game, whereas players are like, I mean, I've had it happen. I've had dudes that I've been like, oh, this guy's, you know, really, really good. And then I look at his numbers and it's like, eh, he's not that efficient. He's not that good. It's like, it's a lot of eye tests versus actual like numbers and data backing it up. And I think players tend to lean towards the eye tests and like what guys have done against them, whereas people that, you know, follow the game kind of lean more towards the numbers and use the eye tests as well. But I think that's kind of why you see a lot of that happen.
I do want to say, I think I'm excited personally for Blake's like player training videos, because I think you guys, the sense I get is that you guys will teach the game the right way, the content that you put out. Because one thing that frustrates me oftentimes when as somebody who's not very good at basketball myself, like, I probably shouldn't be commenting, but I'm going to anyway. I feel like you oftentimes see videos of like NBA trainers or you know, or just like basketball trainers in general on Instagram or whatever, and they'll only work on like on ball, like, here you're gonna do like two between the leg dribbles and like step back jumper. But it's like, I think there's so much more to the fundamentals of basketball, how to move without the ball, how to, like, I don't know, you mentioned like tagging as a defender. Like, there's a lot more to do, like off the ball backdoor cuts, that I think are the kind of things that you guys pay attention to out of a passion of the game, make players better, build connections, and like play basketball and teach basketball the right way, as opposed to just get clicks, like put together a video of a guy training that like looks good on his summer highlight reel. You know what I mean? Like, here's Giannis hitting 10 threes in a row from like the corner. Like, realistically, that's not most of the work he's going to do this summer. So I think that you guys have it, I don't know, are in the right kind of mentality. And that makes me excited to see the kind of stuff that you're going to put out and that we're going to put out together.
Yeah, it's not breaking news to anyone, but like, you'll see some of these training videos and I'm like, you are never going to use that move in the game. Like, what's the point in working on it? But
I mean, yeah, that's right. At Wake, I mean, we spent 4 years at Wake. I don't think we ever worked on a step back jumper in any individual workouts. Like, it's all playing off 2 feet, finishing at the rim against contact. I'm a big 2 foot guy.
I am a huge 2 foot guy.
At the NBA though, it's a little different because guys like a guy like Josh Giddey, like he can make a really good pass off 1 foot, you know, like a corner skip pass or opposite wing skip pass. Whereas at the college level, guys just aren't talented enough a lot of times. So playing off 2 feet, you know, Villanova's won a lot of games doing that. We won 25 games last year, and it was the first time any team that I've been on has taught, you know, really taught being on playing off 2 feet. But so that's like one thing I believe in is important. But just stuff like that, like we're not working on step backs. We never worked on a step back jumper, even though I personally like to shoot those. But you know, we're not working on seven dribbles into a shot. Like every one-on-one thing we play is three dribbles max. Like that's how many dribbles you need to get in the game. Honestly, you should be taking less. If you're around the 3-point line, it's should be one or two dribbles. If you can't create an advantage, like swing the ball. So that's a lot of stuff that like we're kind of thinking about. I know Blake's taking that up, but obviously like I'll help out a little bit. But in terms of like how I view the game, you know, I think there's just a lot of like BS drills that people do that sometimes works at the NBA level, but like guys are not doing that a majority of time, especially at the younger ages. I know I trained this summer a lot of kids, and it was pretty much all, you know, short range, one-handed form shots, basic dribbling, 2 feet, you know, layup package stuff. Like I rarely even had them shoot threes because I didn't think they were good enough to shoot threes yet. So like you got to build that base of fundamentals before you start adding stuff into the game. And as you get better and as you continue to improve those initial things, then you know you can add more layers to your game. That's why you see NBA guys able to do a lot of that stuff, because they've already added all the basic fundamentals, whereas younger guys haven't yet.
Two quick anecdotes. One, last week I was playing one-on-one with me and Connor's best friend, like Andrew Gallup, who is also like a varsity captain. And even a year out of high school, neither of us are playing basketball in college, we still did one-on-one. We're like, bro, we haven't played forever. Let's play one-on-one. We played four dribble max just to like, what are we training for? But we played four dribble max. That was really fun. And two, I don't know if you've ever heard of Point Guard College.
Yeah.
Awesome basketball camp. I've been a huge proponent of it. That was the one thing I would always take from it. Always go off of 2 feet. Helps you take more contact, be patient. You can fake a lot more and draw more contact, draw more fouls. Dude, that made me happy that you're like saying exactly like general philosophy.
That's why I needed to do a Villanova breakdown of them playing off 2 feet, but there's so much on there on Twitter already. Like, I don't know where I could add value. Like I saw something the other day. I don't remember who posted it, but it was all the weak side action they have going on when they do like their 2 feet post up stuff. They're getting a lot of, you know, good looks because they're sending like an exit screen weak side and kicking it out because guys are helping on the post up. So they do a lot of cool stuff.
If some Villanova guys ever start a podcast, it has to be called the Playoff 2 Podcast.
Like, 2 feet hoops, 2 feet.
There's
hoops.
Some free consulting for any ex-Villanova players right there.
Colin Gillespie, it's your time to shine.
Oh my God, that guy was murdering. I go to Georgetown. That guy was murdering us this year.
Yeah,
I was at the game. Yeah. Speaking of just like college guys, I'm curious. You know, like I went to like the AAU stuff growing up and like high school and even in middle school. Like the most talented player you've ever like kind of shared the court with, either like played against probably. Like I've been at camps with Amone Bates and Kyle Cuff, who's on Kansas, and Rowan Brumbaugh, who just committed to Texas. Who's like the guy or two guys that stand out as like, bro, that guy was just like different, either at the time or he just like grew into something different. Cause like when I was playing with like Rowan and Kyle, like they were just like eighth graders, ninth graders, but who were like people that kind of stand out to you?
Michael Porter Jr. That's definitely one. And Jason Tatum, both of them like similar players, but played against both of them. And like, I actually was on the same AAU team as Michael Porter, but I was like a year younger. Or on the second team, I don't remember, but I didn't play with him, but like was in the same practice stuff as him. Like both of them were similar guys at that age, because I played against both of them probably in like late middle school, where they were just, you know, taller than everyone, already were super skilled, could shoot threes, which at that age, like guys don't really hit those shots consistently. I mean, they were obviously weren't like 6'9", 6'10" yet, but they were just taller than everyone and doing, you know, all the things that guys normally that size can't do. And then I played with Wenyen Gabriel at high school. He was obviously really good. He's with the Lakers now. And then at Wake, I mean, Alondis Williams was probably the best player I played with during those 4 years. He's the best passer I've ever seen. He's like 6'5", can get to the rim at will. So he was really fun to play with. And I mean, we obviously played Duke every year, and they always had, you know, a top three pick guy on their team. I'd say Paulo, because Zion was hurt when we played him. I'd say Paulo was probably the best guy. I mean, I thought he should go number one from the start. I loved his game. You know, there's not a lot of like 6'9" guys that can beat you off the dribble that are really strong and built like he is. I mean, he could be 6'10", but I'd say Paul is probably the best guy that we played against while I was at Wake. I like him. I think he's going to be really good in the NBA. He can pass too. Like, he can create for others, and he can get to the rim, and he can shoot a little bit.
Gotcha.
Man, that's a tough question, because it's like information overload. I'm trying to think of every game I've ever played. I mean, real two guys I played with real quick. I grew up playing with Jay Huff, who like started going to camp together when I was like 6, and played high school together. And he's like, I just never, growing up, never seen someone so tall, so skilled, who also got that dog in him. And Trey Murphy, I played AAU with all throughout middle school. And he's, I mean, he like really shot up in college. But yeah, just to see where his final product is now, not final product, but like where he is now and where he's going, I think he's got a really bright future. I mean, I don't know. College is like, it's kind of a pick of the litter between any of the two guys we played Kansas this past year. Christian Brown, Akbaji, those guys were both really good. But I don't know. I'll throw some names out there. I couldn't try to pick one, because if I try to think of them all at once, I'll surely neglect somebody else who is incredible. But
yeah.
I've got a quick Trey Murphy anecdote here, just so you guys know that I don't know everything about basketball. So I was his host at Rice, which he ended up going, but his recruiting like host or whatever. So we played like pickup with him and all that. I mean, he was only, you know, 6'3", 6'4" at the time, super skinny. So I may have told the coaches I didn't think he could play at Rice. Obviously. You know, oh, wow. Now he grew to 6'9". He could always shoot. I mean, he could shoot it then, but like, he just wasn't that tall, and he was pretty skinny. So that was kind of like why I didn't, you know, where I was like hesitant in him being good enough to play there. But obviously, you know, he worked hard, grew, and hopefully we can get him on the podcast. He's an incredible player, really yeah. good dude. I mean,
and you can Blake apologize.
I don't think he knows.
It's about that, so hopefully he doesn't watch
this. I hope Freezing Cold that. Takes isn't tuned into this podcast.
Yeah.
Oh, that's funny. Yeah, I almost went to Rice, actually. I was deciding between Rice and Georgetown. It's a really cool school, but
you made the right choice.
Yeah, to think he is the only current NBA player to have spent time at Rice, I believe.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We got a couple more on the watch list. Drew Peterson at USC was there the year after I was. He's got a chance. He wouldn't be like he'll probably be like a second round guy. And then my boy Malik, hopefully he gets picked up by a team. He was playing well at summer league. Oh, we got to get him on here,
dude. That's Malik is the man. I love that dude. Yeah.
Played at, he started at Florida State the last 3 years. So good dude.
Wow, that's sick.
Those are some great answers to the questions. But before we wrap up, do you guys have any social medias you want to shout out? Where can the audience find you guys and as you kind of pick up the 94 Feet Hoops, and then even your personal stuff too?
Yeah. So our Instagram is at 94 feet underscore hoops. The number is 94. We didn't write it all out. Miles is kind of handling the Twitter side of things, and then personally I'm just at blake.buchanan2. So we'll be sharing all our different, you know, films, some training videos, links to this podcast on here. And I mean, I'm really excited about the crossover aspect of it, because I mentioned earlier, like, whatever you like about basketball, we're going to provide it. But there's a lot of things that can complement each other as well, you know, like, hey, train a kid, go watch this film breakdown that Miles did. So we're all kind of like pitching in together and hopefully covering all the bases.
Yeah, and then the Twitter account's the same thing. And then my Twitter's MilesLester23. Not a big Instagram guy, so don't need anyone following me on there. The last thing that I'll kind of say is, like, as far as 94 feet hoops goes, like, I think one thing that, you know, at least I would enjoy doing, just like having more college people that, you know, bring something that we don't bring to the table into the fold. So like how, you know, we kind of brought you guys into the fold. So if anyone out there, you know, has something that they're passionate about, like whether it's like analytics or something like that, that wants to get their stuff out there and, you know, use what we can do to help, you know, hit us up on Twitter, hit us up on Instagram. We'll see how we can make something happen with us.
If we were too prideful to recognize that we need help with things, we'd be the two idiots here trying to create a podcast without Connor and Connor, and it would not be going well. So definitely hit us up. We'd be happy to talk with anyone who has something to provide.
All right, man, we appreciate it. Thank you so much for listening to this episode of Space Floor NBA Podcast. We hope you enjoyed. If you like this, you can find us on YouTube, Spotify, or Apple Podcasts. I think we're on Audible too, I found out. Yeah. And our Instagram is Space the Floor Podcast, and our Twitter is Space the Floor. So thank you very much, and have a good day. My name is Connor Gielen.
I'm Connor Flannery.
And see you next time.
Peace.